Suit, ties, speakers, team, ballot fakes. City corruption depositions allege Madigan organization used phony candidates. This is the story that Steve Bertrand says isn't news, John. This has been going on for years. How naive of you to not maybe have a sense of time and place on this story. In House Speaker Michael Madigan's 13th Ward operation, secrecy is expected and loyalty is rewarded. House Speaker Mike Madigan. Now those political vows are being put to the test in a civil courtroom, even as the speaker deals with his name surfacing on a recorded conversation as part of a City Hall corruption probe. You've got the City Hall thing with Burke and Solis, but then you've got this other thing for Mike Madigan, and that is that what they do, if you're Mike Madigan, and say you're in a district that is largely Hispanic and you're not Hispanic, how come you keep getting reelected? One of the things you do to dilute the ballot is you, the candidate, actually get other people to run against you. Because if it's just you and one other guy and people don't like you, they'll vote for the other guy. But if it's you and 10 other guys and I don't like you, I'll vote for the 9 other guys. And now that other vote is diluted. It actually ensures that you'll win if you get other people. And by the way, say it's an ethnic neighborhood, it's a Hispanic neighborhood, say. Well, then get people whose names are Gonzalez or Jesus or something like that. And then if you don't know anything, but you at least want to get somebody that looks like the neighborhood, you check those boxes rather than Madigan. Well, that's not new, I understand. But when they did this deposition, too, the thing that really set me off was they asked him a bunch of questions about this. Ray Long's story in the Tribune. It's a long story. It's fascinating. The district's population was about 60% Latino in 2011. Madigan said he was not concerned about Gonzalez's challenge because the speaker enjoyed widespread support among the Hispanic people, he said. Pareca, the attorney, then asked Madigan whether he had reached out to any political allies to try to load up the ballot with candidates. I don't remember that, Madigan said. You would think if you did something like that, we're not asking you what was the name of your second grade teacher. We're asking you if a few years ago you got somebody else to load up the ballot for you. And his answer is, I don't remember. Is it possible that you did? Madigan says no. So you're certain then, that just a minute ago he said, I don't remember. His next answer is it possible? He says, no, it's not possible. How do you know it's not possible if you don't remember? So the follow-up question is, so you're certain that you didn't do this? And his answer is, I don't remember. Ah, I'll tell you, that's why you want me to be king someday. Now, the guy that's filing this suit, Jason Gonzalez, is alleging that Michael Madigan's team stacked the ballot with phony candidates with Latino-sounding names to confuse the voters. Jason Gonzalez is on line 7, and Jason, you're on WGN Radio. How are you?
Hello, John.
I'm outraged! Or maybe I'm late to the game. The word on the street is, hey, you big dummy, this happens all of the time. Tell me a little bit about yourself, Jason. What do you do for a living?
So I run a skills development center on the southwest side called Mind and Man. And what we're really doing is we're trying to help people get the skills they need to be successful in the future in a changing world.
You live in Mike Madigan's district?
Yes, I live in the 22nd district.
Have you run for political office before?
No. 2016 was my first shot.
Why would you run against Madigan? I mean, if ever there's a perennial lock, it's him. What made you think you could beat him?
That's a good question. It's a question that I actually pondered for quite a while. I was a student at Harvard back in 2015 at the Kennedy School of Government. I had a professor named Steve Jarding, who was a guy who really taught campaigns and elections, and I was one of his students, and sat down and said, you know, Steve, I'm thinking about going back to Illinois and running for office. You know, I really feel like I could, you know, do some good, and I want to go back home and make a difference. And I said, I'm looking at this election. I'm looking at this guy, Mike Madigan, and I'm wondering, you know, gosh, he's been in office now, you know, 39 years, and I can't understand, you know, how he has controlled the state with 10,000 votes. 10,000 votes. I mean, it's just not a lot. And I took a look at the district, and I said, well, I've got family here. I didn't know that this district around Midway was his, you know, because I aunts and uncles who lived there, and I spent a lot of time in the adjacent district in Pilsen when I was growing up, and I said, very interesting, 10,000 votes. I said, I could possibly muster that. And I said, Steve said, that's what you need, give it a shot. And, I instead of leaving to New York or to, California after graduation and, taking a high-paying job or D.C., I decided to go back to Chicago and back home and give a run for office. And that's really how it started, was this whole idea of it only takes 10,000 votes.
You said you grew up in Pilsen?
Well, I didn't grow up in Pilsen. I want to kind of make that straight. I mean, my father bought my grandmother a home there, and I spent a lot of time as a child, say from ages about 5 to about 11. And so I know the area very well, and I have roots there. And so my father owned a home that was owned by our family for over 25 years.
Where did you go to high school?
Well, I went to high school in Barrington. I went to Barrington High School. I grew up in Carpentersville, and part of Carpentersville was part of the Barrington School District. So early on, I went to, I was part of Barrington Schools. I was a special education student that actually didn't really do too well in school until, I had some teachers kind of invest in my life and help me to turn it around when I was about 15 years old.
Why were you a special ed student?
Well, interesting. I was diagnosed with ADD when I was 12 years old, and I just had some problems with attention and sort of kind of being kind of the outsider in the Barrington School District, and it just wasn't easy kind of being the kid from the other side of the tracks, right? So I went to school with mostly wealthy people from Barrington, and my father was a union electrician, my mother a dental hygienist, and we were working class, and we weren't poor, but we didn't have kind of the luxuries of the people on the other side of the street. So there were just a lot of tensions between class differentiation and stuff, but I made the best of it, and the important thing is that I turned it around. And
where did you say you went to Harvard?
Yeah, I went to Duke. I went to Duke as an undergrad, and then I went on to MIT and earned a master in business administration, and I was an advisor to the president there, and then went on to Harvard and earned a master in public administration from the John F. Kennedy School of Government.
So then you think, okay, if I can get 10,000 votes in Madigan's neighborhood, and it's an interesting way to think about it, not so much from your perspective, but say from mine. If people in the state of Illinois think Mike Madigan has too much power, there would be two ways to dilute that. One would be to change the rules so you can't be Speaker of the House for that long. That's a statewide initiative. Or just turn to the people in his district and say, what are you people doing? Mike Madigan makes people crazy. I don't care if your garbage is getting picked up on time. Vote for somebody else. Get another qualified candidate, and let's get some fresh blood in here. That's the outside looking in. Now, here you come along with fresh blood, and if you can get 11,000 votes, you'd get more maybe than the 10,000 he always wins with, and you could do that. So what did you try and do? How did your campaign go?
Well, it ended up being a smear campaign. Madigan really, smeared me and smeared my, me, who I am. I had some problems as a juvenile that, he sort of picked up on, and I don't know how he was able to pick up on them, but he did, and, he sort of, put me in a spotlight that, just basically made me look like a hardened criminal, and, made me look like I was, some kind of, horrible person, that this is a, this guy, is a Bruce Rauner person. He's part of Rauner's group and so forth. And the truth is, I've never met Bruce Rauner. In fact, to make the record straight, I asked Rauner's people for help early on, and they refused to help me. They didn't send me a dime. They said,
you
we're
asked
not
Bruce
to help you. We can't help you.
Well, he was the governor at the time, right?
No, I never met with the governor. I've never met the governor. I've met with some of his people.
Okay.
And they instructed me. They said, I'm sorry, Jason, we can't help you. As much as we want to see him gone, we can't do anything. And,
wait,
and
why
that
not?
Was it,
I mean, did you ever go to jail?
Yeah.
Have you served time?
Well, yeah. I mean, when I was a teenager, when I was 17, I used some credit cards that weren't mine at the shopping mall in King County, and I picked up some charges for unlawful use of credit card, and I went to jail for 71 days. But that was over 25 years ago. And I got a pardon from Governor Quinn, you know, expunged my record, you know, I was able to rebuild my life. And this is all after I'd gone to college and started a small business and done a lot of things in the community. And but, you know, the matter is that, you know, Madigan is the kind of guy who's really a Machiavellian. And he's the kind of guy who'll do anything to get reelected. And they are evil people.
So what are you saying that he did then? So tell me a little bit about the suit. Pardon me, this is a fascinating story to me, but the reason you're on the front page of the Tribune today isn't this, it's that. Tell me about what you're alleging Madigan's people did.
Well, it really comes down to fraud. I mean, this is a grand scheme to hoodwink voters into voting for Mike Madigan over a reliable and credible contender that they didn't want in the ballot in the first place. So when they found they couldn't get me off the ballot, their second thing to do was to actually put candidates in that had similar last names to, you know, confuse voters and to dilute the ballot. And our contention is that this is fraud. This is election fraud. This is blatant. It's illegal. And you know, the federal courts are agreeing with us at this point in time that this is illegal. We have case law where this was done, Smith versus Cherry, back in the, I think it was 1958, it was done here in Illinois, where a candidate was running and, you know, the Democrats had put two other people on the ballot against an African-American candidate who was running for, I believe it was state representative or state senate. And it went all the way to the federal appellate court. And they said, this is illegal. This is fraud.
Well, okay, and, you should listen to the Mincing Rascals podcast, because it's a weekly podcast we record with people from the Tribune and those of us here at WGN Radio. A bunch of news reporters and talk show hosts, and we sit around and talk about stories in the news, and we talked about yours. Eric Zorn, the Tribune columnist, said, you know, he doesn't know why Mike Madigan in this deposition, instead of saying, I don't know, I don't remember, he wonders why Madigan simply didn't say, yep, that's what we do. That's how we play it. Because there's nothing illegal about me helping somebody else run for office, even if it's against me. There's nothing wrong with me helping, as is alleged, Madigan's people helping his opponents get signatures and turn them in. Imagine that. Why would Mike Madigan help somebody else run and get signatures and get on the ballot? Except for what you're suggesting. But Zorn says, go ahead and own that. It looks like that happens. It's always happened. That's not against the law. How is that? Where in the law does it say that I, as a citizen, even if I'm running for office, can't help somebody else run for office?
Well, first of all, it's never been, you know, it's never been challenged other than in Smith versus Cherry. And it's a little bit different case, but it still is enough case precedent for us to move what we're trying to allege here forward. I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to get into the legal technicalities of our case. But what we believe is that this is fraud, that we believe ultimately it goes to a jury trial, the jury will agree with us. And, you know, it really comes down to a violation of civil rights here. This isn't a criminal conspiracy, even though we believe that it could be. We're not alleging a criminal conspiracy. We're alleging a civil conspiracy, and that's my right to run as a credible candidate against an opponent without election interference.
Yeah.
Without interference from.
Boy, I'd like to know what the definition of election interference is. Listen, I'm on your side in every way, but I'm just wondering if the notion that your civil right was violated because he played dirty politics holds up. What law did he break?
Fraud. It's fraud. We're alleging fraud.
Those are real people. But those are real people that they were human beings who maybe didn't have any interest in running. And then, by the way, never campaigned, never did anything a legitimate candidate would do, right? These people are placeholders. But so even though they're terribly ineffective candidates, they're real live human beings. Where's the fraud then?
Well, they were sham candidates. They were specifically put in for the specific purpose of diluting the vote. Okay, so we're alleging that this is fraud. This is they're trying to hoodwink voters using these sham candidates. They weren't real. Even though we were real people, they were not real candidates.
When they ask these people, well, why didn't you campaign? They say, I don't know. Why didn't you do this? I don't remember. They use the same line of answer that Madigan and those people use. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know, I don't remember. That's all they have to say. They have not admitted, they won't admit that they committed a crime. But it, you, I wonder how critical that is to you, right? Do you need to get one of those people on the stand to say, yeah, they told me to run just to get Gonzalez. That was the whole point of this. Is that what you need?
No, we remember, we have a civil case here, and the standard of evidence is a preponderance of the evidence, right? It's not proof beyond a reasonable doubt, like in a criminal case. So we are putting together a mosaic, and it's a mosaic of evidence that we believe a jury will reasonably conclude that this was fraud, that Mike Madigan and his ilk have perpetrated this, in, you know, specifically, you know, to deny my civil rights as a candidate. Look, I believe I would have won that race had it been Mike Madigan and myself, okay, on that ballot. I believe I would have won. Maybe not by a huge margin, maybe by 10 votes, 100 votes, 50, you know, 500 votes, whatever it is. I know I would have won that election because there was a lot of support for me.
How many votes did you get? What was the vote total?
Well, I got about 7,200-7,300 votes.
How many did
you
get?
And I had more votes, just over 13,000, I believe.
So he got almost double what you got.
Yeah, he got almost double. But, you know, and a lot of people didn't even bother with the election, and there was a lot of money they could have raised had those other candidates not been on the ballot. And I'm talking millions of dollars, not $100 donation.
If you win, Jason Gonzalez, what do you want to happen then? What would be the recourse?
Well, really, you know, John, I want people to understand that my filing this suit in behalf of what happened to me is just one piece of this bigger picture. Really, what I'm trying to do is we're trying to establish a precedent here so this behavior stops. It's been happening for years. They've been, you know, both parties have put candidates on the ballot to tie up elections generally for the incumbent. And this has got to stop, where the political machine puts in sham candidates against viable contenders who want to run and dilute the ballot. This behavior's got to stop. And that's what I want. I want a precedent, not just for me and what's happened to me, but for other candidates who want to run in the future, and some vindication for those who have run in the past.
I wonder what kind
That's
of
really
rules.
What I want to
I
have.
Wonder what kind of rules we could put forward that would keep this from happening. Right? Like, no, you know, you can't if you're running for office. You and your people, however we define that, can't help another candidate, however we define that. I don't know how we keep sham candidates from happening, when the purpose of it is to keep a strong candidate like you from gaining traction. I'm all for them beating you fair and square, but I don't like them populating the field with other runners to try and wear you down. And that's what's happening. So I wonder what rules we could put in place to keep that from happening again.
Yeah. Well, John, I wonder too, and I don't have the total answers to that, but I think, you know, at some point, you know, when the courts look at this, you know, what's the intention here? Can they prove some intent to defraud voters, right? Is there an intent to defraud here? And I believe we can prove there was an intent to defraud voters on behalf of Mike Madigan and his organization.
Let me read you some of the texts that have come in. It says, John, wow, Jason Gonzalez, with his record, sounds like a perfect candidate to run for Chicago alderman. I don't know how he lost. 815 says, John, this guy sounds pretty damn good. He might as well run for governor. 630 says, John, are you playing devil's advocate? Do you really not get how this is fraud? He rigged the election ballot to win, he being Mike Madigan. And 708 says, to me, it sounds like this is a lot of sour grapes. Maybe it's a little of all of those. Address the last one. You lost, and it's you just being a poor sport about this.
Yeah. You know, if I was a poor sport, I'd pick up and move town. You know, I, as I've said, John, I'm fighting not just for me, but for every candidate who wants to run and every candidate who's run in the past. We have to fix the system. We have to fix gerrymandering. We have to fix rig elections. Yeah. We have to fix a lot of things in Illinois, and nothing's going to change unless someone stands up and challenges this guy. Okay, and now look at what's happening. It's just one thing after another. The FBI has him on tape. You've got David Krupa in my ward, in Ward 13 now. Look what they've done to him with trying to rescind his signatures with false affidavits. You've got Anna Stava Murray, who stood up to him and says, I'm not voting for him as Speaker. You've got Elena Hampton, who's come forward with sexual harassment charges against he and his organization.
Our time is up. Are you going to run for office again?
You know, John, I don't know the answer to that question for sure. But I do know this for sure. Someday, Mike Madigan will leave Illinois politics, either in handcuffs or a coffin, or I will beat him. Today, the sun rose, and all of us are 24 hours closer to this glorious day.
Okay, Jason Gonzalez, that sounds like a stump speech, so I think you're going to run again. Good luck to you. I'm fascinated by the story. I hope you are successful, and I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
That's Jason Gonzalez. His story is page one, above the fold, as they say, in today's Chicago Tribune.